1 Peter 4, 9 to 11. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Well, it's great to be with you this morning, and an honour to be asked to speak on your birthday. And I don't know about you, but birthdays are funny. Some people just enjoy birthdays. They enjoy, you know, celebrating. I suppose some of us, though, sometimes when it's our birthday, it's a little more introspection. What have I achieved in my life? Where's it all going? And sometimes it's great on our birthday just to take stock and think, well, yeah, what is the point? Why are we here? Now, of course, many of you who follow the Lord Jesus Christ this morning will know that the ultimate reason why anything happens in the world, including the existence of this local congregation here, is to glorify God. That is the ultimate point of everything, that God is the point of everything. And that's why we gather. But if I was to kind of come round, I'm not going to do this, don't worry, and say, okay, well, how do we glorify God? How do you glorify God at Hardwick? Well, would you have an answer? Perhaps you might say, well, you know, Daniel, we glorify God by just glorifying him. That's not really an answer. Sometimes we need to show the workings, don't we? I've gone through a lot of times when trying to help my kids maths. I was terrible at maths, doing things like simultaneous equations. Not only is it enough to get the answer right, you have to show your workings. I always thought that was a little bit of an injustice. Can't we just get the answer right? No, we need to show our workings. Well, here in this little passage that was read out very well just now, we have a very basic understanding, or a kind of a showing the workings of how we can glorify God in our service. So I thought on your anniversary, it might just be worth just looking through these verses. And really, it talks about how we can glorify God in our service in self-obsessed times. And I'm hoping this is going to work. There we go. Glorifying service in self-obsessed times. So look with me at those verses that were just read out. It's only a few of them. I'm going to use my privilege of kind of awful Estuary Essex English to make up some words to help us remember what's going on this morning. And the first thing I want us to note is this, that as God's people, as God's church, you at Hardwick Baptist, we are to be not on, we are to be looker afterers, not onlookers. Don't be onlookers, but looker afterers. Look at our passage. The first thing to note, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. The first thing to note, that in any local church, in any group of God's people, there is a universality of God's gifting. In our churches, there is no one who is ungifted, who might look up to a gifted person in admiration, or worse, adoration. And that can often happen. We look at people who come up the front and we think, wow, they're really gifted. I've got nothing to give. But no, everyone has a gift. Or maybe those gifted in the church who look down, you don't have pews, you have chairs, but the phrase, isn't it, looking at the pew fodder and thinking, well, who am I? Who are these people here? They don't have anything to contribute. No, everyone has a gift which is to be used. Now, what's the nature of these gifts? Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. These gifts are limited and limitless. They fall into two types, speaking and serving. And here the discussion often revolves around, I suppose, distinctions between spiritual gifts and to what extent they're supernatural. But there's no indication when these gifts are given. And surely one of the amazing things about God's providence that he gives us amazing gifts that we are to use. And they're either gifts of speaking or gifts of serving. And third here, note that these graces are gifts. Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received. The gifts that we have been given are not our own, but are God's. We've received these different shaped gifts containing God's grace from God, and we are simply administrators or stewards of these gifts. We're going to mention that in a minute. In other words, God graciously includes his servants, you and me, in administering his own gifts of grace. We can't get above our station and take the credit because we're simply looking after and stewarding them. It's a bit like the beef eater who might show people round the crown jewels in London, and he or she was pretending that they were their own. They're not, they're stewarding them. And that's the same as the gifts that God has given each one of you. But in looking after comes great responsibility, because we are accountable and responsible for what we do with those gifts. Here's a question. Have you ever had the responsibility of looking after someone else's pet? We've done that on a number of occasions. And wow, you feel stressed looking after someone else's pet. You give them double the attention. If it's a dog, you give them double the walks, double the treats. You feel responsible. And in our passage, Peter's telling us that with the privilege of looking after God's gifts comes responsibility. We need to be administering these gifts faithfully. Each one of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So in terms of God's word, it's not about just giving our opinion, which acts as graffiti over the Bible, but it's about faithfully transmitting the word. And I know that you're committed to doing that here, not just from the front in terms of preaching and teaching, but as you handle the Bible and you minister the word to each other. And that's a great privilege, but with that privilege comes responsibility. The positive thing here is that as we administer the word of God, it will do its work in curing souls. Our words, our ideas are not powerful enough to sustain anyone, but God's will. So, first point here. We are not onlookers. If you're a member of this community, you just don't onlook onto something else. You look after the gifts that you've been given. Now, what do you do with those gifts? Here's another way of looking at it. Oops, sorry. Don't be passengers, but be passer-onerers. That's not a word, I know that. It follows from this, if we've been given gifts, that we are merely stewards or administrators of those gifts. We're just a link in the chain for those gifts of God's grace to reach their destination. The destination of others. The gifts that you have been given at Hardwick are to be passed on. They're gifts of service. We've all been given gifts, but they're not for us. Now, this can be embarrassing. Have you ever been given a gift by someone that you thought it was for you, but actually it was for someone else? Well, we need to get over this, and our job is to be faithful stewards of the gifts that we have, passing it on to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, it's your birthday today, And I don't think we'll be doing this at the church lunch, but at birthday parties, there is one game that no matter where you come from, I think in this country, and as I've used this illustration before, maybe across the world, is the game of pass the parcel. Now, I've been to many, with the number of kids I've had, I've been to a number of parties where pass the parcel has been played. And I'm presuming that you all know what the game of pass the parcel is. Now, here are some interesting things about pass the parcel. Take 3 to 4 year olds playing pass the parcel. These cute little munchkins are completely clueless about the game before, during and after. They just don't get it. It takes them 10 minutes to form a circle. You give the child the parcel, which is going to be passed on. Clueless. You end up having to take the parcel and give it to the next person. The music starts. 5 get up thinking it's musical statues and not pass the parcel. Now, as I said, what happens is that you get the parcel as the organiser and you just pass it on. You end up playing the game yourself. Now, take those children 2 years later. The munchkins have gone. These are highly trained pass the parcel assassins. You say, we're going to play pass the parcel. One kid puts their hand up. Which version are we going to play? Which version? They form a perfect geometric circle. And now these little kids have learnt all the tricks of the trade in keeping the parcel to themselves. They'll try anything. And here the leader's job is to take those tightly clenched fingers around the pass the parcel and pass it to the next person. Now, let's apply this to this passage here. We have been given these amazing gifts. You've been given these amazing gifts of God's grace. And without being flippant, I'd like to suggest that Hardwick is the equivalent of a huge game of pass the parcel. Now, you might be like the little kids. You've been given a gift, but you don't know it. And you're distracted. At that point, you're kind of like passengers. And the task of the people around you and the leaders in the church is to help you recognize what that gift is so that you can pass it on. Because you've got this amazing thing that's going to help the body of Christ self-grow. And so the leaders will want to help you to discern what that gift is. And I don't think it's about being introspective. It's about speaking and serving. And there are lots of things that we should be doing. And you'll be recognizing what those gifts are. And again, that's the point of people around us. That's the point of the leadership in the church, to help you so that the body can self-grow. Maybe you're like the older children. You know the game very well, but you don't want to give your gift out. And again, the role of the Christians around you and your leadership is to tell them that the gift is not for them. It's to relax your grip on your gift so that you can pass it on to other people as well. Now, for those of you who are leaders in any capacity, the temptation is going to be that you want to play the game yourself. You want to just do it all and pass the parcel on. But your job is to make the body self-grow. That's what the church is, God's new community. And remember what I said at the beginning, everyone has a gift to contribute. At the beginning of 1 Peter, if you've got your Bible with you, just flip back. There's a really interesting bit at the beginning. Verse 6, Peter says, in all this, he's talking to the Christians there, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And now in chapter 4, Peter says that everyone should serve with whatever gift you have received to serve others, to be faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. The word for the various trials that people face in chapter 1 is the same word for the various gifts that people have been given. Your church, in your context, will be facing all kinds of trials. But the point is, you have all the various gifts that you need to face those trials. And if any one of you says, I don't know my gift, or I'm not going to pass on my gift, then the body will be weakened. Everyone here has a gift that they are to pass on to others. And think about all the challenges that we face as Christians today: suffering, persecution, bereavement, broken relationships. God's grace can trump all of those challenges if everyone passes on the gifts that they've been given. So maybe on your birthday, it's a good opportunity, not just as a church, but you to be thinking individually, well, am I onlooking, or am I looking after a gift? And what is that gift? And how am I going to be able to pass that gift on to others? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. If anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides. Now, so far, I've been talking about, I suppose, horizontal relationships, gifts of speaking and serving. Now, how does this relate to glorifying God? Well, here's the point. Don't distract from God's glory. Notice quite an interesting thing in the passage here. Verse 11. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. Okay. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. Now, why didn't Peter say that about those who speak the words of God? That's not about God's strength. There's something about the serving gifts that we need to do it in God's strength. There's something particular that Peter focuses on there. And I think what's going on here is that speaking gifts, you might think, well, people have been supernaturally given gifts to do speaking. But serving, well, that's a human thing. Anyone can do that. And the temptation, therefore, may be to do that in your own strength, to serve. The problem is, serving is hard. True serving is hard. It's possible to serve and to do it in your own strength. Now, what does that look like? Well, I think it looks like verse 9. Look what Peter says. Remember, he's writing this to a particular church. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Oh, you can offer hospitality, but you can grumble about doing it. Peter says, offer hospitality without grumbling. And I would say it's a very human, natural, sinful thing to offer hospitality but grumble about it. We need God's strength to be able to offer hospitality without grumbling. So Peter says we should be serving in the strength that God provides, to not grumble, to be cheerful in mercy. Sometimes we're very good at serving in our own strength. And we like other people to know it. We like to know that we're serving others. We like the fact that some of us probably are on the edge of burnout because we've been serving so much. And our glorifying God is a kind of the indicator for that is not how joyful and gracious and light our serving is, but rather how stressed and kind of anxious and busy we are. But a busy, anxious, stressed Christian, even though they're doing lots of service, is not attractive, but nothing but a distraction. Burnout does not glorify God. Now, we have to recognize, though, that this is hard, because As sinful human beings, we like to get in on the attention, in on the action, don't we? We want people to recognise us in our serving, that I'm a valuable part of this community, that I'm serving, but the attention can be to me and not to God. There used to be a programme, it's not on it anymore, it's just showing my age. It'll be all right on the nights where they're showing kind of these clips of news reporters, news anchors, weathermen and weatherwomen, when someone in the back has strayed into the camera and he's saying, like, hi mum, hi dad. They're a distraction. And we're not to be a distraction. In our serving, we're not to be a distraction for people. We want people to be seeing and glorifying Christ in our serving. Praising Christ is to be the focus. We should want people to say about us after we've spoken God's word or served, not, isn't Dan amazing, or isn't Matt amazing, or isn't any one of the people up the front amazing, but rather, isn't Jesus Christ amazing? Richard Baxter, the Puritan, puts it beautifully. He says this: I was but a pen in God's hand, and what praise is due a pen? We're just pens. If you're writing something down, the pen doesn't take any glory. It's an instrument to do what it's meant to do. And in the song that I think we might be singing at the end of the service, may the mind of Christ my Saviour, listen to this, may his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him. Now, friends, this is massively countercultural. This is the exact opposite of this afternoon when whoever's playing up front for West Ham, my team, scores against Manchester United, and that will happen. When that happens this afternoon, you know what the striker does, the Premier League striker. They go to the corner and they stick out their chest and they want the adulation, they want the attention. They're sucking in the kind of the crowd's love of them. And often we live in a culture where we're infected by that in a little way. I don't like being anonymous. I want to be remembered. I want a legacy. I hate people looking right through me. And we're influenced by a world that screams out for glory and attention, and this creeps into the church. And many of us have probably seen that happen. But we're not to distract from God's glory. Now, as I finish, how do we do that? We know what we're like. We know we want the attention on us, whereas it's meant to be focused on Christ. But perhaps there is a way out. Final point here. Be distracted by God's glory. Don't distract from God's glory. Be distracted by it. This passage is really interesting because Peter's talking about some very mundane things. Offering hospitality without grumbling. Speaking God's words. Serving in God's strength. But then at the end of this passage, he kind of goes into a spontaneous hymn of praise. I mean, you can look, verse 11. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Where did that come from? He's just been talking about don't grumble when you offer hospitality. And he ends up with this amazing hymn of praise. I think Peter here gives us the answer as to how we glorify God in our serving. How we don't distract from God's glory, but we're distracted by it. Let's go back to Peter serving in God's strength. Of course, in reality, everything that we do relies on God's strength. Not just our serving, but our very existence. As we heard from the children's talk, God is the one who has created everything. He sustains everything. He is the totally and utterly self-sufficient creator. And so we rely on him for everything. And so I wonder whether the way out of our own kind of constant self-absorption in our service is that we contemplate and meditate on God and his glory. And then in some senses, we're pulled out of ourselves. We don't want to put the focus on us or on other human beings. We want to put the focus on God. God's glory, his majesty, focusing upon him, sets us free from ourselves. We're almost kind of pulled out of ourselves. And that sets us free. And when we do that, when we're distracted by God's glory, as Peter is here, so our petty self-interest and self-absorption fades into nothingness because we don't care about ourselves anymore because we're so focused upon God and who he is and what he's done that we don't want to focus on ourselves anymore. As one writer says, beholding is a way of becoming. The more we focus on who God is, his majesty, his beauty, his glory, the more we will become like him. And when we realize this, we'll realize the futility and the stupidity of wanting to take any glory for ourselves. Why? Because Jesus is not just a supreme example of service, he's the supreme savior. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If you are a Christian here this morning, your identity, your very being is bound up in who Jesus is. His identity is yours. And that means, why would we seek our own glory? Because we know that one day we will be glorified because Christ has been glorified. That's what Paul says in Romans 8. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. On your birthday, this is a great opportunity for you to come together as a church, for each one of you to think, what gift has God given me that I need to pass on to others? Talk to your leaders, talk to people in your home group, people who you trust in your church about what those gifts might be and how you might be able to pass them on. If you're using your gift, but you know you're doing it in God's strength, come out of yourself. Be distracted by God's glory himself. We need to come to God in repentance. Ask for forgiveness when we've served by serving ourselves, or we wanted to focus on ourselves. And we need to pray that we would speak as one speaking the oracles of God, that we would serve in the strength that God supplies. Because to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Maybe this is a great opportunity today for you to think about that as a church and as individuals. That you as a body will be distracted by God.